Welcome back to Brutally Honest with me, Jermaine Pennant. And this week's guest is Troy Townsend, the father of Andros Townsend. Troy played for Millwall and Crystal Palace Youth Academy and is also now the head of engagement for the Kick It Out programme. Kick It Out is English Football Equality and Inclusion organisation working throughout the football, educational and community sectors to challenge discrimination, encourage inclusive practices and campaign for a positive change. So let's welcome Troy Townsend. Okay, Troy Townsend, listen, thank you for coming on today. I really, really appreciate your time and taking the time out to come on. And I'm sure it's going to be a good topics and discussions we're going to have now.
Absolute pleasure, Jermaine. Really pleased to be asked first and foremost. And then hopefully, like you say, I'm sure we will anyway, we'll go quite in depth in the conversation, won't we?
Yeah, like I said, you've got loads of background, loads of information, underprivileged kids in the game, and you've worked, you've been a long time in the game. So yeah, it's great to get your thoughts and, you know, your experience. Mm. And one thing I would like to obviously talk about is the S&T Academy for Underprivileged Kids that was founded in, you know, by yourself, co-founded 2010. Yeah. It's no longer running now, but, you know, at a span of 10 years. Can you just give us, you know, a little insight on that or more?
Well, do you know what, it's really interesting, and you know, things happen by default, really. So I'm a former teacher. I used to teach PE in East London. I had a business, my business partner, unfortunately he's not with us no more, Steve Brown. We kind of always been involved in supporting and helping young people from underprivileged backgrounds. We plotted ourselves with an office in Leighton. Anyone that knows Leighton, East London, most of our schools were in all the surrounding areas, Leightonstone, Hackney, Newham. And those were high areas, obviously, of black and brown children and families and, you know, the kind of disadvantages that they had, particularly during those periods of time. I taught in one school. Steve taught in a rival school, which was only about, I don't know, 1,000 yards down the road. So although we were business partners, we were rivals because we wanted the best for those young people, you know. And just to give you a bit of a background, Jermaine, is the school that I was in never had any history in regards to physical education, had no identity. Like, physical education for them was just taking the kids straight out of the classroom into the playground, run around and then go back in, you know. Yeah. So when we arrived, we kind of gave it a structure. I remember taking the kids to their very first football match. So it's a primary school, very first football match. And when we turned up, everyone was laughing. Because honestly, we turned up like, I remember the expression, rag-ass Rovers, you know, the one wearing this colour, one wearing that colour. Do you know what I mean? And we played like it as well. But you know what, Jermaine? It gave me a determination to provide the best for those young people. I had an upbringing that, again, you know, there's only two of us in my family. My dad left home really early. My mum was a sole earner, you know, did everything for us, but actually was not really interested in my football career. And football for me was the thing that I thought was going to take me to out of, you know, the background that I was in and hopefully provide me with the rewards that football can do. And one of the main reasons for starting S&T Academy, an academy that I had before, was for those reasons, to show children that there are opportunities out there for them, you know, their talent and their ability, which needs to be harnessed, can be there for good. And also that a number of the children who may not be academically bright, so the system says, you know, they're low level at maths, low level at English, but they have a talent. Yeah. And so can we focus and harness on the talent that they have, which in a sense will then help when they go back into the classroom? But Jermaine, I remember, and I know I'm divulging a little bit away from your question, but it all connects, you know. I remember taking those kids for their first 11-a-side football match. We got beat 7-1. I've never suffered defeat like that in my coaching career as a person. And some people will say, well, it's not about the result. but it was the manner of the 7-1. You know, my goalkeeper still on the halfway line for most of the game and wonders why he was chipped from just inside their own half, you know, all the time. But it enabled me to judge the young players. It enabled me to provide a structure for them. So, right, we're going to train 3 nights a week after school. 3 nights a week? Yes, 3 nights. If you really want to be committed, let's try and be the best that we can be. And they committed to it. Now, the thing that was born from that is all of a sudden in the borough, we became the team that no one was no longer laughing at, the school that everyone was looking at and wanted to be as good as. When those youngsters were transitioning from, so they finished their term with me in terms of primary school, year 6, and transitioning into secondary school, Steve said to me, we can't let them go. We've put too much hard work in his school, in my school. So I said, well, what do you want to do? What? All right, let's give them some additional training. Let's give them some training and coaching so they stay with us. So, oh, all right, okay, come on in, let's do that. So what we did, we just plotted up in the summer, and we, all the kids that used to play for us, we look, we're going to help hold some training sessions. It's free. You don't have to pay. Come along, bring your friends along if you want to, and let's keep this focus and structure going, because not only are you developing as sports people, you're developing as young people, you're sharing different things about each other that you've never had the opportunity to almost be exposed to before, you know? So we go through the summer, you know, we've got, I don't know, 20 boys, 15 girls. Do you mind, by the time the summer's increasing now, there's 80 odd young people on this facility now. And I'm going, Lord, right, okay, do you know what I mean? But it was good because it's our community. Mm. It's our community. And everyone, people would walk past and say, can we join in? I'm like, yeah, of course you can. Come and get. So all of a sudden it now became so much bigger. But we focused on the core group who had obviously developed with us through their schooling as well. Mm. We created a couple of games. I got some contacts. We went to Fulham. We went to Leighton Orient, you know, and we showed the youngsters what the other side looked like as well, you know, what potentially being part of an academy structure could look like for them. Jermaine, 5 weeks before the start of the, let's say, grassroots season, we were saying, look, we're going to be winding down now. You're going to go, you know, go and train with your clubs again. And they said, nah. So what do you mean, though? No, we don't want to go back. We want to stay with you. We like what's happening here. Parents are there. So I'm not just talking to the young players now. I'm talking to their parents as well. I said, Troy, no, they don't want to leave you. And I'm thinking to myself, no, I can't do this Sunday league stuff again. I'm finished. I don't want to do it no more. But, you know, kids have a certain way of, like, twisting your arm. And do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, boom, we found a name. S&T is literally Steve's first letter of initial, my first initial. It's nothing creative. We put Academy behind it. We got them into a league. We asked the parents to just embrace what we were trying to achieve then. You know, leave your children in our care, okay? Come and watch them. Don't just think, look, Troy and Steve are going to look after them. Come and watch them excel in an environment where they've been ostracized quite a lot in their school environment. You know, they're the bad kids in the school. They don't deserve the same kind of recognition of the other kids. We're trying to show you that your children, actually, this is the environment that they excel in.
Yeah.
So we go into a league. I've managed young children before, and I said, you know what? I didn't want to go in there and smash the league. So actually, we played a year up. And in playing the year up, I wanted them and their parents to come on a journey of learning, that it's not all about winning. Jermaine, we took some batterings, right? But we played football. I'm going to tell you this. We played football. We played football the way that I like, which, you know, is all the stuff that we want to play, the keeping the ball on the deck, to taking minimal touches, to being creative, to not just smashing the ball long and chasing after it. We played football, but we took some batterings. Now, some of the time the players were coming off disheartened. And I said to them, actually enjoy that feeling. Enjoy what it is to be disappointed in your performance, in the result, in the outcome, in teammates, because you'll actually enjoy the good moments more. So first year, we finished near the bottom. Jermaine, second year, all of a sudden now we're competing. Do you know what I mean? We're just losing games against the big sides. Third year, bam, won it. Some of the parents stayed with it. Some of the parents were like, oh, I don't like watching my son lose every week. Some of the parents didn't come. So I said to, I remember this parent who I taught his son now for 4 years. come and watch your child. Come and watch him play football. He's a real tall, elegant, dominant centre-back. I used to class him like Rio. So think of Rio, put him in a young person, comes out with the ball, do you know what I mean? Never shows these kind of attributes in, you know, that education environment. Dad come, brought the children, brought mum who never watched. They've got a pram. It's a beautiful sunny day. And dad sat back and watched his child. And he messaged me afterwards, Troy, and he said, what you've done to my son, the confidence you've given him, the kind of, I see him differently. He's got a stature about him that I've never seen before, not even in the house. I need to appreciate his, you know, what he's done. Or he kept putting it on me. And I'm saying it takes two to tango. A child's got to be receptive to what we're trying to deliver. And what I hope, Jermaine, is that the football is one thing. The helping them think that they are, you know, Jermaine, these young people have been ostracized for far too much, far too long. People look at them, they judge them, they stereotype them, they belittle them. They can be little rascals. Some of them were rascals to me. And I have to say, well, you're not coming training tonight, you know, and stuff like that. But seeing them excel in that environment gave them the confidence and belief that actually they can achieve. And then we created this little family atmosphere, this little family environment now where not only are they excelling in their game, but they're creating new friendships. They're now enjoying each other as friends. They're going out, you know, the boys are meeting each other. The girls' team is interacting with the boys' team, you know, and they're going out and they're going, I don't know, to the parks and this, that. And I think to myself, this is not football. It's not about football.
Yeah.
This is about showing young people, one, that they can respect each other, because unfortunately, again, you know what it's like, our young people, they look at someone from, I don't know, from another school or whatever, and there's that instant dislike for some reason. And I think, I'd like to think we'd help them grow massively. And I'm going to share this one story with you. It's a first question, it's a very long response, but I'm going to share this one story with you. I'm on LinkedIn, which obviously is a business platform. A child messaged me, he's a man now, messaged me and said, you were the father that I never had. He said, the things I've learned from you as I was developing and growing as a young person, and he was challenging me, has enabled me to become a father and a business owner. Jermaine, you could have cut me with anything at that moment. And I'll tell you now, this child is one of the most challenging individuals I've ever had to deal with in my teaching and football in life. But years on, the respect, the appreciation, the acknowledgement is everything that you set out, you know, when you set out to do these things, everything that you want to set out to achieve and hope they work. And then all of a sudden you get a message like that and you think to yourself, he didn't make it. His career went in other ways, but does that matter? Because he's now a human being respected in all quarters. He's left his image behind that he had in the local community and has grown as a young person. And if I can do that for anybody, then for me, that's more than any plaudits, any rewards, any kind of acknowledgement of what I've done in my career or my life, to know that actually the legacy will be that that young person will repeat some of those things that he's learned from within our culture, to be able to empower other young people as well.
Yeah, it's a great story. And going on that, Troy, is that underprivileged kids, the trauma that they've gone through their childhood, has a massive impact. And I feel your academy, and I think professional academies now should emphasize that not every child in the academy is the same. It's come from privileged, but you have to treat certain children a little bit differently. I'm not saying give them extra, you know, rewards or extra attention, but just treat them. Some kids might like a father figure.
Yeah.
Some kids might like a kick up the backside, or some kids might some love. Like me personally, I didn't have the mother around, so I had just my father. So I craved, you know, the mother love. And the closest thing to that was when I was at Arsenal Academy was Liam Brady.
Okay.
He really tried to, you know, he knew my background. He knew where I came from. And obviously being Irish himself and being from, you know, the rough part of Ireland, he kind of related and took a little bit of extra time out to always put an arm around me. when I, you know, fucked up, tried to keep me on the straight and narrow. And I thought that did help a lot, but I needed more. I needed more. Yeah. From the academy. I needed more, not just a couple of days a week when I was at the training or when I did something wrong. I needed really, really more to, you know, understand and feel loved and being one to kick on in my career. Where your academy, obviously, like I said, that the guy messaged you on LinkedIn and I don't said you was that father figure has helped him heaps. And I feel the academies now should, you know, emphasize and advocate that as well. But I don't think they do.
I'm fortunate enough with my work that takes me. So I go into academies to deliver education. So I have direct contact with young players in the environment. And what exactly what you've said there is a kind of message that we kind of, the things that we talk about, because each and every single one of them is unique, who are going to want that little bit more. There are some who just, you know what, don't worry, I can deal with this. I'm okay. Yeah. There's others that are going to be very needy and wanty. There's others that are going to look and think, I don't see anyone that looks like me. So how are they going to appreciate who I am as a person, first of all, and then as a player? And I think you're absolutely right. I think that element is lacking. It's supposed to have been addressed and or being addressed. And I still don't see it being addressed more than enough. There was a young man who I bumped into at Southampton recently. You know, he's a signed pro now. But I remember him as a 13-year-old. And honestly, Jermaine, when I went in to talk at the academy, he was staring at me like I was God, like I had halo over my head. Little black you, you know, come from a really tight religious family, but in his academy experience, he'd never had anyone the same as him talk to him. So when I came in, he's staring at me and I'm thinking to myself, this kid all right? Like, and Jermaine, when I say, you know, one of them stares that actually, he's like, I think, is this kid all right? And I said, are you okay? What's wrong? And he went, I've never had anyone in my footballing journey talk to me that looks like me, that appreciates who I am. And I was like, wow, wow.
Yeah.
In the academy, there's one mixed heritage coach who's only part-time. There's no black coaches. So when that child I'm calling him, is having difficult times, who does he know to go to? Who does he trust? Who does he think is going to understand what he's going through? And it's amazing because when I bumped into, so he was 4 foot nothing when he was 13. He's now 6 foot and a strapping, like real tonk of a young lad. So when I saw him the other day, I had to look up to him like that. But do you know what? He embraced me and I went, boy, you don't recognize me no more. And he went, of course I know who you are. You're the first person that spoke to me that I could identify with and helped me. And Jay, I spoke to him about, I don't know, hour and a half in one session, 2 hours in another session, 13 years of age, and he's remembered it. You know what I mean? And the messaging that was in that, you know, because unfortunately it was all about racism, being racially abused, how to deal with things, and he remembered it. And the hug that he gave me, which, boy, squeezed me tight, shows me that he acknowledged it and took it on board as well.
It's funny you said that because I kind of had the same experience when I was in England throughout the years, under 18s and under 21s. Because Chris Ramsey was our coach at one time. Rambo was our coach.
Yeah.
And no matter what, I felt at ease when I was talking to him because I felt he would have understood where I came from being a young black professional.
I
felt easy where obviously the other coaches, I thought, you know, they would probably sometimes look down because I wasn't the, you know, from a rich background, polished professional, polished human being, you know, I was from the streets, I was from the road. So when I was speaking to Chris, I was at ease. And he would talk to me on I won't say on my level, but he would understand. Yeah. And when he would give instructions, I would take it all in. I want to graft. I want to work. And I felt like I didn't want to let him down because I knew, you know, I feel if I ever messed up in training or messed up, you know, around England on 21s, I think he would be the first person to come over and say, you know, Jay, what are you doing? Not talk to me like I'm going to get sent home. It will be like, what are you doing? Come on, man. You know what I mean? And I'd relate to that, and that really will kick home.
It was that it's just what you said there, the acknowledgement of the way that he spoke to you. Do you know what I mean? Whereas some would obviously be judging you and looking at you and just saying, ah, he's getting both barrels. Do you know what I mean? Whilst Chris is almost empowering you to do better for yourself.
Yes.
And I'm just like letting him down.
Yeah.
Like I'm letting him down. Yes.
And I don't think that enough people understand that at times. I think it's getting better in the academy. And I spoke to an academy manager the other day who said, Troy, I understand that those are black boys. Are not represented in this environment by the coaches. So actually there's this almost not distance where if anything does go wrong, they feel that their voice is not going to be heard. You know, imagine that pressure. You would have understood it. Imagine that pressure of actually, I don't know, having a bad day. Things are happening around you. You want to speak to someone, but you're not sure if people will understand because the game always judges you, doesn't it? You know, for young boys to be able to speak up and to be acknowledged, it's still a difficult thing. And we wanted to break down all of those myths, you know, be open, be able to share your stories, be able to talk to us, be able to seek advice, be able to seek comfort. But the game still judges in the way that it believes that that's you showing a sign of weakness. You're not going to be mentally tough enough to go and play in the Premier League, you know? Yeah. And then, so no acknowledgement of that mental well-being space as well. So, Jay, we tried to break all that down. We tried to make sure that we were the most open and honest. And by the way, my academy was, yes, it was for underrepresented, underprivileged children in the area that they were in, but it was for black children, white children. You know, we had Portuguese players. We had Asian, you know what I mean? It's for the whole diverse group of people that lived in that area. But still, you know, I'm going to say predominantly black and predominantly, unfortunately, those that who didn't have both parents in their household, you know, and would have struggled for a play area, would have struggled for, you know, the correct kit and the approach. So we bought them all that because we wanted them to feel pride. But it's yours. You look after it. Take it home, wash it, you know, make sure both socks are the same. Make sure your shorts don't fade. And all, that is a sense of ownership and pride that youngsters want to feel. They want to believe that they can be a part of something that actually is helping create their own destiny, you know? And I still think the game struggles with that sometimes because I think the game looks at players and thinks, well, you're all the same. I'm going to judge you on your ability. And if you bring anything else, any other problems in here, then I'm going to judge you again, you know? And that's not fair because that's a lack of understanding then from the football club or the coach. An appreciation of what young people bring into their environment. The reason they're all there is because of their talent.
Yeah.
But after that, they bring some luggage, let's say, you know, and it's being able to appreciate that and help support them as well.
Yeah, because I've said it many times in interviews on shows that I feel coaches need to adapt, like evolve. Yeah. You can't, you know, you can't go and treat every single player the same. Some players, again, I'm going to go back, react different to certain situations. Mm. And there's so many talented players out there who are playing in the Premier League now. And I'm thinking, well, his form's dipped, but maybe he's not getting the right love. Maybe he's not getting the right direction. And, you know, he's not going to react well to how you're treating him. Some managers are thinking the old school, they need to adapt to players' feelings now and what baggage they do have. So, and it's crazy that only 1% of the academy as well probably make it professional.
You know, it's such a cutthroat business. Yeah, such a cutthroat business. You know, I produced a three-part documentary, if you don't mind me saying, back end of last year, called It Was All a Dream. And it was all about the academy system. First of all, I was only going to look at players and the release, how they were released, how they reacted to being released and the complications of being released, which, again, I don't think many really understand. But then I thought, you know what, if I'm going to tell the story, I need to tell the story from beginning to end. So everything that happens within the academy environment for a young person, you know, speaking to psychologists now, who would have thought of psychologists, you know, had an important part to play and, you know, old coaches, Rambo was one of them, people that have had a massive journey and a massive kind of part to play in the positives and negatives in that space, you know. This game is, and people don't, listen, the reason why I feel, and I said it yesterday in a meeting that I had, that people don't like me as such, or they can't tolerate me, is because I expose the bits where actually football needs to do better. And football likes to remain old school. So my job is to talk about racism, unfortunately, you know, and expose the fact that in this day and age, in 2022, players are still contacting me and telling me they're getting racially abused and no one cares. That's the element of my job. The fact that I go into academies and I've taken my own son through the academy system and can appreciate the journey that it is, and the good bits, the bad bits, the bits where you think, I can't believe those practices are still happening in this day and age. The old school coaches that will not budge on their principles, but yet asking players to adapt to being a player in 2022. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They've got those old school principles. And listen, it might have worked back then, but you're asking players to adapt, but you're not prepared to adapt.
Yeah.
You know, all those things. So, yeah. So I get it. I understand it. And I just think there's so much more that can be done in this space, particularly like individually, to support, you know, those players, those parents, on the journey, that we've still got a way to go. And people will say, well, you're being negative because of this is going on. And I said, I'm not knocking that, but there's also got to be an element, like we've said, of understanding every single individual that walks through the door. And because of that fallout rate, because of that small percentage that make it, you see that aftercare. Because I'm not, Jay, when I...
Not existent.
So when I got released, right, I didn't have my parental support when I got released, okay? I signed for Millwall at 14. I actually thought that that was it. That's all you had to do. You sign one contract and then your career is all the way until it finishes. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Got released. I grew up. My team was... I had the likes of Teddy Sheringham in the same team, Martin Hayes, Jimmy. We all come from the same Sunday club. And we all went to Millwall. So I'm looking around going, these men are good. I'm good. We're all just going to go on this journey. By the time I've been released the second time at Palace, I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know what was going into my head. Mentally, there was something wrong. But no one had ever talked to me about that before. So things were going on and I didn't know. When I left football and left that... Jay, you know what it's like. When you're the top baller in your environment, boy, the way people talk about you. But you see when they hear that term released or no longer there, vanish. So that's 4 or 5 years of doing some mad things. Do you know what I mean? With mad people. Because I just wanted to be loved. I wanted to survive. I wanted to show off almost. But it was going to lead me down a path where ultimately I wouldn't be talking to you now if I was continuing doing that. Because I'd be somewhere else. Do you know what I mean? If not underground. So I had to fundamentally make a massive change. And I think that helped me then instill those principles and habits into young people. That's one of the main focuses of the academies that I ran, because a lot of these children had only two options in life: try and become a footballer or go down the other route that looked more rewarding, by the way, but was potentially life-threatening. No, we've got to show our kids, and this is what, that there's more than two options in life. They're options, of course, they're options and they're potential and possibilities. But, you know, if you love yourself, if you believe in yourself and you get that care and support, then you'll see that there are multiple options. And that's why that one message from that kid and what he's achieving now shows me that we're on the right path.
Yeah, I feel for the young kids, because some academies get players from 6, the age of 7, you know, go through all the system till the 16, and they've only known one thing is football. They're going to be a professional footballer. Then at 16, the club turns around and says, right, you know, Billy, you're released. That kid is, you know, he's absolutely demoralized. His old world's been turned upside down. Yeah. And then there's not a path panned out for him now. I was right, you release, off you go, ta-da, you know, wish you well. And then the parents are in a bit of a bewilderment as well. So I think there's got to be something in place for these young kids, you know, something in place when it doesn't materialize.
Yeah. right across the board, because there'll be many that say, we do that. We look after our children. We look after our young players. We give them an exit plan. If that is not kind of right across the board, then we're going to have kids still who, like you've just mentioned, and parents like you've just mentioned, who now their whole world's been, I don't think people appreciate enough that getting released and no longer having football as that avenue crushes.
Absolutely.
It's a traumatic experience that crushes the individual and all the hard work that the parents put in, the sacrifices that they made, the not going to the little school parties, going out with your mates and really determined to make it. And then you get that decision and your whole life changes just like that. And I still think that the game, because it doesn't want to really hear those stories, doesn't acknowledge it enough, the impact, of that, you know? So there's learnings there right across the board. And I think no matter whether it's a Tottenham, Arsenal, Man U, Man City in the Premier League, or it's a Scunthorpe, Oldham, you know, Preston Academies down the other end, we've got to ensure that we look after all those children.
Yeah.
And I get people say to me, well, it's like any job, isn't it? You know, you get, you know, you have to leave. And I said, these are children.
Yeah.
Children.
Yeah. Children are not going in Tesco or right. the office or, you know, they're preparing for that. Yeah.
Don't compare that. You know, me as a big man, get the sack or told, you know, I can't work here. And I'm like, okay, I'll dust myself down. I'll go and work somewhere else. I don't need your aftercare. But these are children who are developing into adulthood, and they're being given the most like damning kind of news for them as a young person. And you're saying that the game's not got an obligation to look after them. You're willing to grab them to start with when you saw them as an asset. Let's take them from their Sunday league club. Let's tell them they can't go back there. Let's get them into our environment. Let's make them a little bit robotic because they need to be here at this time. They leave at that time. They eat at this. Do you know what I mean? And then what? Just dash them away and think, ah, it's all right. They'll adapt to the real world. Doesn't work like that. Sorry, you get my juices going when you talk about that.
No, it is frightening because you can get a talented kid who plays in a Sunday league, but he's not, that's not his world. You know, he could be academic good at school, learning his trade in something else. But when you're in an academy, all you do is football. So anything else is pushed aside because you're going from academy, going from 6, 7, 8, all the way up. So there's got to be, like, again, you know, it's ludicrous, really, because you look at an engineer, for example, if he was to get released, that's his trade. So he can get another job at another company. In the same trade. Where a kid now, again, he's got to start from scratch. And it will be good to see the figures, like how many young children through academies who get released, who then go on to absolute, you know, to crime or to not be anything what they could have been if something was put in place. It's scary. I know this is good for parents listening to this and, you know, to just also
it's vital.
Yeah, to hear
it's vital.
This.
Yeah, it's vital because parents are fundamentally a massive part of the journey. And maybe that's not even acknowledged because, you know, they don't have, who helps the parents in this scenario? Who gives them the information they need and tells them, you know, people say, well, it's not about the parents, it's about the player. But the parent is so connected to the player that if you don't inform the parent, you know, so I understand the player's the commodity, but the parents are an essential part of that as well. And also they've got to understand because, as we all know, some parents get, you know, they go, oh, yeah, my little, like you said, little bit, it's going to be a professional footballer and we're all ready for that, you know. And then what happens when it doesn't?
Yeah,
it's a massive impact. So, listen, the game's still got so far to go in this space, as far as I'm concerned, because you can't have that percentage that you mentioned as a success rate, let's say, of those that make it, when the massively larger percentage is of those that don't.
Yeah,
who then fiddle? Some fiddle into other clubs. Many don't. You know, the unfortunately, you know, suicide rates from boys 18 to 24, I think it was. There was a stat a good few years ago. So it'd be interesting to see what that is, that, you know, have taken their own life because of the game. Jeremy Winston, obviously, some say it's because of the game. Some say they're not sure. Young lad from Manchester City after being released. And, you know, I don't want to hear those stories. I don't want to hear those stories. And football has an obligation to protect anybody from feeling that way, you know, feeling so, imagine that, feeling suicidal because of, you know,
released.
Yeah,
it's scary for brilliant. Troy, listen, it's absolutely been amazing for your insight, and I really sincerely appreciate your time and coming on. And all our listeners, I hope they really took something from this, parents, young kids, that, you know, hopefully this can be helpful and a great insight.
I'm sure it will be. Thanks for having me, Jermaine. Really appreciate it.
Absolute pleasure. Absolute pleasure, mate.
Listen, stay in touch if you need to. You know where I am.
Yeah, we'll do.
Always willing to help and support as much as I can. Lovely to meet you first and foremost.
I made shout out as well.
I knew your journey anyway, because I'm from East London. So it was a big thing when you signed for Arsenal all those years ago. And I used to live looking over the Arsenal Academy training ground. So, you know, there's this lad from Notts County.
St. Albans, yeah.
Yeah, he's come, you know what I mean? And going to school. So I'd always knew the journey. So I've always kind of followed your journey anyway, you know? And ups and downs, highs and lows. But that's part of the business, isn't it? You know?
Yeah, it is.
They're all experiences that
I've had from a few lows and a lot of lows, but like I'm trying to not make amends, but I'm trying to give a better insight for the younger generation.
Exactly.
You know, don't be ashamed, and there's help out there, you know, to get the best.
Positive, sure. Absolutely.
I can tell you in East London, I heard a few sirens.
you kind of know, don't you, straight away that, wow, Troy must be there. Yeah, exactly. But it's listen, it is what it is. It's been home for a really long time.
Yeah.
I love it. You know, family of, you know, the older ones are now moving on and out. So we'll probably do the same soon. But for the moment, we're here and we continue to live a life that is prosperous. Our kids are doing well. You know, and that's the most important thing, isn't it?
For sure.
Brilliant. All right, then, matey. Well, listen, good to talk to you, Jay.
You too. Take care, my friend.
So that is all for this week from me and from Troy Townsend. Massive thank you for coming on, and a massive thank you for listening and taking your time out, guys. Really, really do appreciate it. And I will most definitely, certainly see you next week.